Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The bad seed, a broken egg, a bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad actors, bad taste, bad luck, bad dude, bad breath, bad attention, bad vibes.
So I hope you're digging the FOTB retro pods for all in a bench style. So these are shows that go way back in my career. This one's been from April of 98. And I just think these things are just badass. They are gold. I was digging around my crib, the Ferrella Palatial, looking for my career and all of the tapes and all the CDs and all of the killer material and shows and laughs and interviews and crazy stuff that I've done in my life on the radio. And I just thought it was fantastic when I scored. I felt like Jed Clampett when I found them all. So I thought I'd play them for you. And I know you're digging it, right? So this show, part two, I start going off on this Knicks Heat game where it was on NBC, the NBA, and they blew this call on an Allen Houston tip-in that would have won the game. And I go ballistic on this broadcast and how the refs screwed it all up. Plus, I get into a little Ducks-Avs game from the NHL. I talked with my buddy Brad Hirsch on that. And then Pete Sirico, longtime colleague and friend from the Steel City, he comes on and talks about the Pirates and Penguins. And we get into all of that. And then I even talk about a crazy prison break in the Everglades with some guy's mom, like, drove a semi through the prison gates, and there were, like, two drownings in Huntington Beach that I talk about on this broadcast. So all kinds of chaos. Get into it. Enjoy it. These are really old shows, and I think they're absolutely sickening badass. So I hope you dig it. FOTB Retro, April 98. Get some.
Hey, let's get this dude up. Tom in D.C. on the bench.
Hey, what's up, Pharrell?
What's shaking, dude? I didn't know it was you.
Yeah, you know.
Jesus, you go. I mean, Anderson, you could at least prepare me for the... I'm like, I would never call anyone in D.C. Thomas. So I called him Tom, thinking that it wasn't him because I only know the Eagle. Let's start this over. Hold on. It's not the Eagle?
No, it's Thomas. And I think you should have...
It's Thomas that I love. I love Thomas.
I think about whoever answers the phone and mess you up like that, I think you should have him killed, man.
Dude, you're the funniest dude in the world in terms of, like... Well, I know that you just like to chug drinks and chase chicks.
Just come on the air and just spread hate.
Wax up and hate. I mean, who do you hate today?
I want to talk about Karl Malone, man.
What up?
All right, first of all, in the game he had 56 points in against Golden State, the worst team in the league. I heard he did some Donyar Marshall and broke his ribs or something like that during that same game.
I mean, all I know is that, you know, he slammed Robinson and then he went out and had 56. Or maybe that was before the game. All I know is that, what was it? It was after, but he got suspended for one game. But that was the next night. Was it the next night that he burned Warriors for 56?
I think it was two nights before.
Okay, there you go then. I don't know anything about that.
Before he knocked out David Robinson. Man. I mean, and the worst part is how he's going to go visit him in the hospital and say he cares about him after he just, you know, gave him a blatant elbow. Like,
yeah, but I've never seen an NBA player on his own, without a posse and without a limo and without all this fancy stuff. I mean, the guy literally jumped in a cab and went down there on his own fruition and went up. And I'm sure that David Robinson could care less about seeing him, but the guy went in and made... I thought it was really different. I thought it was unique that the guy went and apologized. I've never heard of anything like that in the NBA. It's just it's just uncommon.
And something else, what did you think about Allen Houston winning that game last night? Yesterday, and officials in Miami were on the take trying to...
Yeah, they screwed him. There's no doubt that there's just no doubt that the bucket was good. I mean, there's not a person alive that saw that thinks that you can't tell me that he won. It's ridiculous. They keep trying to throw this series off on me as if it matters. They try to play like the Heat and the Knicks have some kind of rivalry. What they have is two lousy teams.
Who can't shoot. And
they're not going to win, Jack. I mean, you're not going to win an NBA title with a guy like Alonzo Mourning that loses his mind. every time he plays a game. The guy gets in a fight now about three nights a week. He's just completely... I just don't think he can focus enough because he's too immature. The guy's an idiot. I mean, let's face it. He gets in a fight every night. He tries to punch guards.
And the thing about Alonzo Mourning, when he was at Georgetown, he used to hang around the convicted drug dealers when he was at Georgetown.
I don't know anything about that, but I wouldn't doubt it. I'll say this. I know Georgetown rocks, so I know that after games, put it this way. I can talk about your D.C. team. The Wizards are the perfect example of a team that sucks. Look at Weber and Howard, how much money they make. I got no trouble with the money they make, but I got a trouble spot in me when I start hearing about how they want to he doesn't want Howard to get dealt. He says if Howard gets dealt, he's leaving. He said he came there just to play with him. And then he told him to get Sprewell the other day. And all I have to say is this. Dude, you have no say. You haven't won crap in 7 years. He's one of the guys that called timeout with Michigan, and he's been in the pros, and he's done nothing. He's had mean faces after dunks. What is that?
I know that's all he does. And basically, since the Wizards have been losing, I'm about to, just go off about that.
Dude, that team should have been in the playoffs 5 years ago. I mean, every year for the last 3 years, they should have won 40 games, and they got nowhere near it. I mean, let's face it. They have not played well together. I don't care how much they like each other. Get rid of one of them. This is not a slumber party with these dudes being buddies. What is this crap about he wants to play with his friend? That's like hearing about how guys want to play in certain towns and not others. Screw you, dickhead. You're going to make the money. I'm sick of hearing about how dudes want to play where they want to play or they're not going to go. Well, then don't go then. See you later. Boom. Fired. Get someone else. I got no patience for dudes that start calling the shots when I'm going to carve them a check for $8 million. Dude, I'd play for the Clippers if that's what the deal was. I mean, look at Jim Leland. You don't see him running. He makes good money. He got a crappy team. They stripped him down. He's left with nothing. You don't see him walking. Why is it that all the brothers have to start complaining about their situations in the NBA? First of all, the NBA is boring. When are people going to realize that watching an NBA game is worse than going to a dentist? And the NHL is becoming fivefold worse than that. I kid you not that I'm the biggest hockey fan in the world. I don't even like watching the games anymore, and that's a bad day. And I'm starting to, enjoy watching soccer. All right, it only took me about an hour to get... Brad Hirshon, he's at the pond, and then I'm going to get Pete Sirka next at the Three Rivers after the Pirates lost. But, Brad, what's up, dude?
Hey, buddy, how are you?
I'm cool. We had Jim Leland on tonight. That made my evening, and then I had a piece of pizza after six cups of Java, and now I got diarrhea.
Nice. I'm very proud of you.
Yeah?
That's very good for
you. So the Avalanche have lost six straight games. They are absolutely collapsing, and I heard that the finger-pointing has started.
Yeah, I guess it's not too pretty. I will find out a little more. Look, they're still ahead here, 1-0. And
how did that go down?
We'll see what happens in the locker room tonight.
Who scored?
Alexei Guzerov got his fourth.
All right. So, do they look like a team that's lost six in a row? They look lousy.
No, they look okay. I mean, they don't look bad. But remember who they're playing. I mean, they're playing a team that's going to make them look good, no matter what.
Should they worry about Patrick Roy breaking down in terms of when he's not happy, all of a sudden he wants out?
Yeah, he is a bit of a mental case. The Ducks just scored there to tie it up. So I'm sure that's going to make Roy's night. But real quick, you know what? When Roy gets upset, he obviously becomes a bit of a mental case, and you saw that in back there in Montreal. So we'll have to see how this plays out. There's only a few more games left until the playoffs, and they've got to pull it together. They really have no choice.
Brett Severin just scored. So, but the...
Man, I'm out of here, and I will talk to you after the period.
All right. That was cool, though, that they scored. Brent Severin scored right then, and that's what you heard all the noises. Let's go to Pete Sirka at Three Rivers in Pittsburgh.
No noise here, though.
Hey, what's up, dude? You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready, man. Hey, the Florida Marlins broke a club record 11-game losing streak tonight with a 7-2 victory over the Bucks here at Three Rivers. Rookies first baseman Derek Lee and pitcher Andy Larkin were the difference for the Marlins tonight. Lee belted his second Grand Slam of the season in the third inning, part of a six-run third inning for the Fish, and Larkin only allowed two runs and eight hits in his seven innings.
Yeah, it was great that you got Leland on with me, and it was great to have Jim on the bench earlier tonight. And now, when you were dealing with him about it, I frankly can't believe he went on the way things have been going for him.
Well, you know what? He's back in Pittsburgh and some familiar surroundings for him. You know, maybe there was a comfort factor there, even though they lost three out of the four games here. You know, he's staying over the week or tomorrow,
right,
tonight to be with his family. And his little son was in the locker room, too, and he was a very nice little kid. You know, it was just, I think it was like being back home for him. So.
I was talking to him about his kid and his family, and I used to live right behind him in Pittsburgh growing up, and the house that he lives in now. And my dad obviously lives in a different place, but Leland seemed real happy that, you know, I was talking about his kid and everything. But how about Derek Lee? Came over in the San Diego deal with, you know, the Kevin Brown deal. And what is this kid? I mean, he's got tremendous talent. I mean, you've heard a lot about some of the big names, but Lee's a kid that obviously showed you some power tonight.
Yeah, really. You don't hear too much about him. He's only batting 200, but he has 4 homers and 13 RBIs. And 2 of those homers have accumulated for 8 of those RBIs, 2 grand slams this year, and this is his rookie season.
So Loaiza got the loss, and the Pirates still win 3 of 4. I mean, you got to be excited what you've seen out of Lamont's club for as little credit as they get and exposure nationally. They go out and I think they just win with hustle.
Loaiza only went 2 1/3 tonight. It's not a typical of him. He's normally a long inning producer for the Pirates. Last year he led the team in innings pitched with 190. So he normally goes 5, 6, 7 innings for him, you know, and gives him a quality start every time. But, you know, the Pirates, their tendency is to be relentless and just continue playing as a team, which is kind of coincidental. Pam Bonifay in the papers here was quoted as saying that he's not quite happy with the Pirates' preparation so far this season. So he's been just a little bit slightly disappointed with the way they've started out so far.
Is he just trying to get his own ego polished off by being in the papers or something?
I don't know. He's the executive of the year from last year.
Well, I don't care. I mean, I think Cam Bonifay is a smart guy, and he's done a great job, but I don't see the point in him coming out and talking about a team not being prepared when they're winning games.
They fell to 7-6 now so far, and they go to face the Braves tomorrow, so they got a 3-game set against them in Atlanta, so we'll see what happens after
Lieber, that. Lieber's pitching against Millwood, and I'll bet he loses. Millwood's got stuff.
Well, you know, the Braves, they just keep churning out pitchers left and right, you know, whether they get them through free agency or if they home grow them. It's just one of those kind of things that they rich get richer.
You had Chipper on last week when he hit the grand slam against them. They don't play well against the Pirates.
Not when I'm there anyway. So
I mean, the Pirates don't play well against the Braves, and now they're going down there and whatever. All right, Pete. Anything else?
Yarmer Yager tonight, and he was doing a little bit of a backpedal on the situation with Kevin Constantine.
Right.
How he really isn't having such a great time playing. And, by the way, he threw out the first pitch tonight, so there goes your broken hand theory.
Well, all right then. He doesn't have a broken hand, but that I don't necessarily believe that a guy can't throw a baseball with a fractured bone in his hand. What has happened since who slashed him last week? Just give me the name.
I think it was in the Ottawa game. I'm not 100%
well,
sure.
Well, I think that he's playing with something wrong with him. I think he got hurt that game, and he's not talking about it because he's Yager. Why would he tell? He lies to media dudes. For 5 years now, he's been telling media dudes he doesn't speak English. Meanwhile, the first thing he does after the game is go out with his girlfriend and get laid. And he goes to a bar and talks to 100 people. You know, whatever. He talks to the cops. He's got 100 speeding tickets. He has no trouble speaking English then. I love you, Pete. Sorry to hang up on you, but that happened.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? SportsGrid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, SportsGrid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Josh in Jersey.
Yes, Pharrell, how you doing?
Hey, brother, what happened? It must be crazy in New York with the Yankee Stadium story about the pole falling. And
I'm scared, you know, we might have some illegal aliens coming.
Tell me about the damage. Did you see any of it?
No, but I heard about, like, a 500-pound thing.
Yeah.
Went straight
it down the third baseline, it crushed in the upper deck. I guess it crushed some seats. Put it this way, if somebody was sitting there, they would have been dead.
I was supposed to be there.
I mean, imagine if you were sitting there, you would have been dead. I mean, the thing came down 500 pounds, steel girder, you're dead.
Yeah.
It'd crush you, cut you in half.
I hope not.
Tell me about the Knicks. They got screwed last night. I think the Knicks are now 8th, and they'd play the Bulls. They'll lose to the Bulls even if they were 3rd. And second of all, the Knicks stink. They did get screwed, but let's face it. I think they're in a position now where is there a chance that they could not even – could they blow this? No, they're in the playoffs, but
no, they're not definitely. But they're.
I don't think they should be. They're not worthy. They suck.
No, there's the Wizards suck.
Yeah, anyway, there's no doubt about that. But I mean,
but they screwed the call.
I mean, the Nets have been the better team this year in New York. There is no doubt about it. Hold on a second, dude. You'll be up first again. I got to end the hour. 800-BENCH-29. We'll get you in. Just call. We'll get you in. Pharrell with you. I hate that dude. I think I hate him now. I'm not sure. Do you hate him yet? That guy? All right, Pharrell with you. The best story of the weekend was those dudes that broke out of that prison. Their mom drove a semi-truck, 58-year-old woman, drove a semi through maximum security prison at the Everglades down in Florida. She drove a semi through just the front of the rig. She didn't have a trailer on it. She drove a rig, like a Peterbilt, through like three layers of fences, broke this dude out with his buddy, and they were both in there doing 20. And the one guy's been doing 8 years. He's got 2 years left probably before he has a chance of getting out. She runs in, gets out. They catch her. The two goofballs get away. They get busted an hour later in Pompano, Florida, which is right by Boca Raton where I got a pad. And they got busted on the road. They were driving a car, and the cops spotted them. And they were driving around like normal folk. And they got busted because they tried to run the cops again. And then when they tried to get away, they killed a dude in a wreck. And the wreck was so bad, they couldn't get out of the car, and the cops just lassoed them. And then they got pictures of these two goofballs in the cop cars covered in blood getting ready to go back. And now they're going to get life because they killed the dude. It was manslaughter. And I mean, they're not even going to give manslaughter on it. They're going to give him life. Manslaughter is when you don't mean it, kind of. But this dude is dead. I mean, what?
In a similar situation, we had a car drive right through that Thai place right next door over the weekend.
What was that, man? Now, wait a minute. Somebody drove through the restaurant with a car?
Yeah, I guess it was like a stolen car thing. You know, we watch them on TV all the time, live.
Right.
There was cops chasing him, and he didn't make the turn.
Did you go by there? Is there a big hole?
Yeah, we'll do it on the next smoke break. It's kick-ass.
You mean to tell me there's a big hole in the restaurant?
Yeah, and there's, like, stuff flying. Like,
well, it leaves me with a big hole after I'm done eating it, so what's the difference?
I'm thinking maybe the food will be better when they come back.
Maybe. Maybe I'll get a little bit of a tailpipe or something in my...
If that happened during the week, we'd be dead, man, out there smoking. You know, the car would kill all of us.
Dude, we are always out there in the pit, and it's right there by the injuries.
Brett said that would be cool.
That would be cool. Brett would enjoy seeing all of us die. I just cannot imagine the Georgia tornadoes. 12 tornadoes have touched down alone already there. It's like in April they have tornadoes. That's when I moved. I'm telling you, man, when one hit my house, I was out of there. I was in Cobb County. The thing hit my house. I was out of there. I don't know how many times I've told that story. Listen to this. Last week, we had two kids drown here in the same place where I live, Huntington Beach, California, Surf City. They've had one drowning in 19 years, but they had two drownings in 1 week. Listen to this. The first kid was bodyboarding. He got taken by a riptide. See ya. Second kid, and it's horrible news. I'm not making fun of it. It's just horrific, scary. I mean, imagine how scary it must be. I've been out there in the ocean where I've been swept, down the beach. It's crazy how the riptides can take. And if you have no say. Even if you're a strong swimmer, you're dead. Okay, now look, the second kid's the story. This kid fell off the pier. Now, there is no way I'm going to believe for 1 minute that this kid wasn't tight roping over on top, crawled over the railing, trying to show off to his friends. I've never seen anybody even remotely come close to falling off of that thing, even if it was rocking. How do you fall past, like, concrete walls? I mean, you have to get on top of it. If you fell through the holes of the, you know, it's like a gate, a fence, but it's a huge concrete fence. So you'd have to crawl through the holes, and literally someone either pushed this kid in, threw him in, or he was tightroping, showing off for his girlfriend. Because they all said he fell in and they were standing there. They couldn't do anything. And they were screaming for him to shed his clothing. And the kid went under. He had a heavy winter coat on and boots. And it's the ocean. And it's 50 degrees.
But it's only 20 feet or 20 yards.
35 feet deep. But it was in the middle of the same crap that the kid got yanked out in dead 2 days before. And so they never found either body. Oh, my God. And the parents stood out at the beach for 3 days. The family stood at the beach. They never went home. They stood at the beach waiting for the kid to wash up. One of them. One of them was 17. The other one was 19. I think the kid that was 19, the lifeguards say that every night of the year when they're in season, they're there till midnight. And this time the kid fell off at 10:30 at night. And they said if we would have been there a week later, we would have saved. They save everyone that goes over. They say that the lifeguards here are the best in the world, and they come from all over Asia and the Middle East, wherever, to train from these dudes. They're so good. It's like Baywatch. That's how intense it is. I've seen five-year-olds out there in training classes. I mean, this is lifeguard city, as if that's like your goal in life. So if you're doing it, you say, last week they weren't around for two of them. But they did pull out two of the other kids that were drowning with the kid that drowned. The bodyboarders. The bodyboarders at the shoreline that riptided, two of them got yanked out. The third kid they couldn't find. And that just scared. I thought I'd tell you about it. I mean, NBC admits now that they were wrong in leaving the game. I said earlier tonight that was the worst thing I've ever seen. The game, the tip-in on the Houston tip, they immediately left the game. It was like, the basket's no good. Good night from, you know, it's like, see ya. Boom. I was like, dude, you are the worst. You guys are so cheesy. And then the network, the head of the network, this guy's talking. Okay, like the spokesman for NBC comes on and says, we probably made a mistake. No, jackass, you did. What is this probably stuff? You're going to have a press conference to admit you're wrong and then come in with a probably? Probably nothing, dude. A, the Knicks won. B, you guys left the game the minute it was good. The rest of the game sucked. The end of that game was great when it was controversy. And they left to show us teams warming up and Bill Walton standing at the half court or whatever with the TV lights on with a corner shot from a camera up in the corner. We're here. We'll be back with the opening lineup. No, no, no. This is why I got to tell you.
I hate the NBA.
There you go. This league is so fooling everybody. The only reason that everybody watches the NBA is because every brother in America watches the NBA. And that's the only time they ever get ratings from men. Let me tell you something. Okay? You want to segregate? You want to talk about different ethnic? Listen to this. Women watch TV and will keep it on the same channel all day. And they'll put up with commercials. Guys click like crazy. Guys watch sports and they watch news. They watch like headline news and sports. I'm reading this survey the other day about literally in the Wall Street Journal about what they watch. And like what guys, I can watch women's shows. I like A&E and Lifetime once in a while when there's something really trippy on there, like that Russian prison thing I watched with Bill Curtis. But I watch sports, and women will not sit and watch sports. And then they blame us, the guys, that we're you know, asses and everything else and lazy and slobs and all this stuff. But it's like, no, 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 honey, your shows suck. But I'll watch them with you, and then I still get crap. And then you're sitting there watching sports, and you're a dick. Okay? Now, I don't buy that. But let me tell you how the NBA works. I don't know anybody that watches the NBA, except black people. And they're a fine group. I love the NBA, but I know that they're not sitting around watching Tom Gugliotta play.
There is no racial bigotry here.
I'm serious. That's not saying anything bad at all. The kids, they love the NBA kids, and they love the clothing. And that's really good because everyone that wears it gets killed. If you wear NBA attire in the inner city, you're dead. They'll yank it right off your body and shoot you dead. And if you don't think so, I can name 50 cases in Chicago in the last 10 years that it's happened. That's like the center, the headquarters for murder, for Nike and starter jackets. I used to wear a starter jacket, my Penguins one, to work in Chicago on Wacker and State at the Stouffer Riv. I ran the health club like numbers of years ago when I was covering the Blackhawks. I'd cover the Blackhawks at night, and by morning I'd run that health club. And I'd walk in there, I'd scare for my life. 4 a.m. walking in downtown on Wacker and State, and all that's there are heroin addicts and gangs. I just don't get into the NBA. Somebody's got to convince me that it's cool. What's cool about it? Watching Peter Vesey and John Sally and Hannah Storm, they are the worst studio threesome I have ever seen. I don't care how cool John Sally is. I know Peter Vesey's a dickhead because that dude gets in fights in toy stores. Fact. He got arrested for beating up some dude in the FW Schwartz in Seattle last year. Now, look, 2 years ago, whatever. I don't like him anyway. He starts rumors in the paper. He's never right. And she, laughing to their pitiful jokes, is just horrible. I'd rather watch Kenny Mayne scream at me. That dude, they got to lower his mic down to his package because he's got it right up on his lapel, and he screams every other word. You think I'm loud? You think I talk too much? You think I'm painful? At least I don't go like this. Roger Maris! Race driving! That's an eagle! Dude, you're an... Hey, quit screaming at us, you wussy. Who thinks you're good? I thought you were cool until I heard you. Thank God for that magazine. I'll never watch your ass again, you femme.
To light the lamp on DraftKings and FanDuel this NHL DFS season? Then join DailyRoto.com and learn from the best daily fantasy sports players. Get updated fantasy hockey projections for NHL DFS, line combinations, and build stacks for tournaments in the DailyRoto NHL DFS lineup optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy hockey without using DailyRoto, you are doing it wrong. Enter the promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I got to tell you a couple of things. It's true about Kenny Mayne, and I got nothing against Kenny Mayne. And the first time I saw him, I thought the dude was A, excited about sports, B, into it, C, you know, young and into doing what he's doing and everything and fired up and all this. But somebody's got it. You mean to tell me I'm the only person in the world that knows that dude Pikes out on the mic every night of the week, every other segment. I mean, they got to get somebody in there has to realize that the dude is, I mean, when I did that into the mic a minute ago, that had to have hurt your ears. Literally make you wreck your car. But that dude, I mean, I drop what I'm doing. If I'm eating ice cream, I choke. He's just, they got to lower that mic of his. My God. And let me tell you what they're doing at ESPN. They're extorting you. They don't distribute their magazine anywhere except New York, and thus it's a way for them to sell it. They're going to try to get people to want it and then get a subscription because that'll be the only way to get it. I went to four places twice. Four different places in 2 days twice. Eight different places and couldn't find the magazine. And I'm talking about Los Angeles here, okay? We're not in Romeoville, okay? That's outside Chicago. That's a northern suburb of Chicago. I'm not in, like, Naperville, or I'm not in Warsaw, Indiana. I'm in Los Angeles. You couldn't find that magazine if you were nude. I mean, I kid you not. And I've read it, and it's better than the network because you don't have all of those dudes and their jokes that are awful. I just have killer. It's like ESPN without the dudes that suck. I mean, I've always told you who's good on there and who isn't. And I'm not a critic, but I know when a dude's painful. I know I'm painful. Believe me, if I can tell you I'm painful, I know who is. And that NBC basketball show is the worst. They've got to end that. And no one watches. And thank God that they show Michael Jordan every single week. Every week. That's what we watch. Oh, and the Seattle. No one wants to watch them and their burly Grateful Dead coach. You wonder why they won't give him a contract? Because he looks like a horse's ass. He dresses like a slob. He doesn't represent them, and he's always complaining. Josh, your other comments on this stuff we were talking about, I forget. I know we were talking about the Yankee Stadium and everything and the Knicks, and I started going off on that game. I mean, the Knicks won the game as far as I'm concerned, but...
Yeah, what are they going to do with the Knicks about that?
Well, now you're going to play the Bulls because of it.
The refs robbed them. I mean, the Hugh Evans, wasn't he the guy with the Scottie Pippen foul?
Maybe they should get some looser uniforms for the refs. Are their shirts and pants tight enough?
I think they're on crack. I think they should get anti-crack laws.
It's like, dude, you see the dude's package running down the court. They wear these spandex pants that are, they're polyester, they're the worst. And those shirts they wear, I mean, can they at least look like a ref instead of those gray, like, those are like funeral shirts.
Yeah, from the concentration camp.
I think that the NBA is flat out bunk. And I love basketball. Don't get me wrong. I love basketball. But there's nothing I hate worse than watching these teams. I mean, I don't understand it. It's a showboat one-on-one league. There's no defense played, but by three or four teams play defense. Do you know how many bad teams there are in the NBA and how many good teams there are? There's like five good teams that are, and three of those aren't even good enough to win the title. They're just good. Well, I mean, the league's horrible. Let's face it.
The Knicks got robbed of embarrassing Pat Riley.
The Knicks aren't the Knicks aren't even worthy of the playoffs.
Because they
should let
Patrick
four in. Teams in each side. Screw this eight. I mean,
they lost Ewing.
Well, yeah, Ewing's been gone all year. And talk about him coming back isn't going to be effective either because this guy's no more going to be effective with a
they could still be Riley.
He's not supposed to be playing basketball, and they're all lying to themselves. Who are they trying to kid like he's going to come back and win him a title? They never won the freaking title when they had him in there healthy. Their best chance was with the Rockets, and they blew that. Then last year, they played so dumb in that Game 6 against Miami. I think the Knicks are horrible. I think Van Gundy will be fired. Someone's got to take the fall for their...
I mean,
their mediocrity is just staggering.
With that, their best player.
I agree. All right, Yank in New York.
Oh, no.
Hey, Yank, oh, hold on a minute. I didn't realize. Oh, he's at the Forum? Just hold on one more, Yankle. You're up next. I got to do this because I owe the feds money. Some old U2. Bum, 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 bum. All right, let's go to Brad Hirsch at the pond. The Avalanche and the Ducks are playing, and I don't even have any clue. So what's up?
Well, it's 2-1 at the end of the second period. The Avalanche took the lead on Adam Foote's goal. And that's pretty much where we stand. It's been a lot of penalties, a lot of people beating each other up, a lot of frustration from both teams.
So Severin scored for the Ducks, and the Avalanche, really, essentially, they want to win this game tonight because they can't keep losing.
Yeah, they really can't go into the playoffs with this massive losing streak. I mean, they got this, like, black cloud just hanging over them. They really need to get a win out of here tonight, especially with the next few games against San Jose, who's playing pretty good, and Detroit, who's obviously playing real well.
I sense from watching games, and they've been awful, one after the next, doesn't matter who's playing, I sense that teams that are in and locked into the playoffs are literally just throwing games. I mean, they look so flat, the NHL teams, because of the Olympic break. I have never seen anything like some of the dull, scoreless, miserable, awful outputs I've seen. The perfect example is the Avalanche. Six straight losses. There is no way this team would lose six in a row with the talent they have. I think they're just laying down and waiting for the season to end to get healthy for the playoffs. They're just literally using fourth lines to slack.
Man, I would agree with you, except that in the case of the Avalanche, even just in watching the game on Saturday against Los Angeles, man, Crawford just looked absolutely tweaked. He was pissed, not happy. Patrick Roy just doesn't like to lose.
Well, I think it's because he's mad at the players.
The money goaltender, but I don't think that guy just likes to lose at all.
I think he doesn't like to lose, and I think he knows they're laying down, and he's pissed.
Yeah, that could be, but I got to tell you this. That in between the first and second period, this has been like the greatest part of the night. In between the first and second period, you know how they have that like mite hockey, that like midget hockey
stuff? Yeah.
So they got the Disney on Ice midget hockey team playing, the Ducks and the Ducks against the Ducks or whatever, these 8-year-old kids.
Right.
So nobody scores a goal, and the buzzer sounds, and these kids just start beating each other up. Just a huge fight with these little 8-year-old kids. It was great.
So there was a brawl on the ice.
Oh, man, little 8-year-old kids beating each other up.
Glad to see the NHL marketing is paying off. Yeah. We got to get all the kids fighting, too.
You know what? If it was just the NHL, that'd be one thing. But how great is that? I mean, it was like Disney on ice with little 8-year-olds beating each other up.
That's funny. I think the league should take a real good look at these last couple of weeks of hockey because I've been thoroughly embarrassed and turned off by it.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I mean, you know, I think a good example of what's going on in the NHL is the Avalanche, like we've talked about. I mean, losers of five straight, and this is a team that, you know, automatically gets the second bid, the second seed in the West because they're the division leader in a really bad Pacific Division.
Look at the Penguins.
All year, how weak the Pacific is. And the St. Louis Blues, who are playing actually pretty decent hockey, are going to have more points than the Avalanche are at the end of the year and are going to be seated lower than them. It's not right.
I think the Blues will probably beat the Kings, and it's because, you know, they've won 12, 13 games since the break, and some teams are hustling, and I'd say 70% of them are. The Penguins are playing awful hockey. They haven't won a game on the road in forever in a month, and they won in Tampa Bay 4-1 but on a Saturday 2 weeks ago, but that doesn't matter.
Yeah, not only are they playing bad hockey, but now they got Yager, who's crying and whining again about Kevin Constantine and what he thinks of that coaching staff.
I told people at the beginning of the year that this guy would leave Pittsburgh and that he'd be unhappy without Lemieux, and everybody laughed at me. I don't care what kind of contract they gave him. Yager is not going to be happy if he's not scoring and if he's not the center of attention and he's not playing with Lemieux. And I think that this defensive system has got him pissed off. And I also believe right now he's playing with a broken bone in his hand. I think he is because he has not scored jack since that slash.
You know, and he thinks, I mean, his excuse for that is that Constantine, according to Yager, put him on a checking line. And Robert Lund, you know, centering that line, it's not a checking line, but, you know, Yager's not scoring goals, so he's whining, and Constantine's such a hard ass.
I think it's the first time he's never scored, so he doesn't know what to do.
Yeah, that could very well be the case, but this is the wrong time to be going backwards.
I'd hate to be him in the playoffs, because if I'm playing them, first of all, he can't beat Ottawa.
No
and if Ottawa gets up against him, the first thing I'd do in game one is try to kill him.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, they, you know, that's their team right there, besides Ron Francis, you know. And
without Francis and Yager on that same line, they're dead.
Yeah, I agree with you.
All right, buddy.
Totally agree with you.
All right, 2-1 Avalanche. Maybe if anything happens between now and 10 West Coast, you give me a jingle.
You got it, brother. I'll talk to you.
All right. I hate saying jingle. Can I get Yankel in? Yankel's at the Forum. The Kings are beating up on the Flames. Yankel, what are you doing out here in L.A.?
I came here for the Passover holiday.
That is awesome.
I'm thankful for Sunday night.
Yeah, now, today you go to the game. What, tell me about this hockey game.
Glenn Murray just scored his first career hat trick. He had a shorthand goal also in this period. It was tied 1-1. They both teams came out pretty good with some good passing in the first period. It was tied 1-1 after the first. But then you had the team started, you know, messing around a little bit, and they had some hits. There was one fight in the second period. We just got underway in the third period.
How many does Glenn Murray have close to 25, 30 goals now?
I believe it's 29.
29. He was at 25 last week. That is incredible to Glenn Murray. I think it's the best year of his career.
I mean, it's possible. I mean, I don't follow the Kings that much. I just came out here to the game with a couple of friends of mine. But I'm looking over here at the arena. It's a pretty nice place. I mean, considering how old it is, and they have, like, here, the seats are, like, half empty. The fans here aren't, like, I guess, you know, they don't come out.
Nobody cares about hockey in Los Angeles.
Is that right?
I did an MTV story today. It was on MTV Live at 6, and it was about, the NHL, but I did it from the Kings practice. And, I just don't know anybody.
That advertisement I saw you on MTV Sports. I saw like a commercial or something you did over here. I saw it on the Diamond Missionaire.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know what that's all about. What do you mean?
I saw like a little thing for MTV Sports, and you were there like you were speaking to the Kings coach and a couple of the players and advertising for the MTV Sports thing you do.
And they ran that in.
Yeah, in the Forum, right?
Wow. What on the scoreboard?
Yes.
God damn, you can't beat that.
No, you can't, and I was thinking of you, and I was like, getting excited.
Tell him I said God bless. I was messing around with Rod Blake and Sean O'Donnell and Robinson.
Right, Robinson.
Oh, that's killer. Hey, Yankel, it's good hearing from you, dude. I'm glad you're out here. When are you going back?
I'm going back next Sunday night.
Oh, well, maybe we'll see you in here this week.
Is that possible? I can stop by maybe Tuesday night or Wednesday, because I might be going to Vegas tomorrow, and then my friends are going to Disney on Wednesday.
Yeah, they've raised prices at Disney. I'm going to let Anderson talk to you, but we're going to make sure that you don't bother me. I'll let him come in. I like Yankel. It's just that I can't have him leave this time and go back and, like, start up all this stuff about him having jobs and everything. I'm like, I think he's the best live guy from New York with that taste, but he flipped out on me the last time. I think he tried to kidnap my family.
Want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire? Dunk on your NBA DFS competition with DailyRoto.com and dominate on FanDuel and DraftKings this season. Compete with the pros with DailyRoto.com, Optimizer, and the most accurate projections in NBA DFS, plus lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and much more. Save 10% on winning NBA DFS advice with promo code DUNK. Visit DailyRoto.com/dunk to learn more.
Knee to the head, knee to the shin, knee to the back of the neck with a shot to the ribs, and then a haymaker, well done with a headbutt. Hey, look who it is, the fabulous artist formerly known as J-Rock.
What up, dog?
What's up, J-Rock? What's happening, brother, man? Hey, what's up with the Yankee? Is it, have they decided to tear down the building tonight?
New York's Yankees? Yo, I think it's a conspiracy.
Yeah, there's somebody pulling bricks out of the wall.
You know what I think? I think George Steinbrenner did it on purpose, for real.
I believe it. It's based on the fact that Brisk commercial out has a bat hitting him in the head.
Junkyard kid, for real.
What's up, J-Rock?
Yo, dog, when you going to be in New York?
The week of June 22nd, I'm doing a bash for Yens in Manhattan somewhere. And then I'm going to do MTV Live, and then I'm going to do, I'm booked on Letterman.
So, yo, let me bust your man down with my numbers.
Get J-Rock's number so we can party with him. I want to party with him when we go to New York.
Yeah,
I know it's in June, so we've got another whatever.
We
got a lot of time for me to bore people with hearing it. But I try not to say it too much. I just say that I'm going to be on it.
Yeah.
I don't even know what day it is that I'm going on with Letterman. But I know that when I'm out there, I'm going to try to rob as many people as I can.
Where?
Yeah, I'm a pickpocket.
Run out. I'll help you.
I'm quick.
I hope.
So what have you been doing, watching the Mets? They're going to play two games there Wednesday, the Yankee game with the Angels, and then Mets,
man,
and Cubs.
Bring them Spankies in our whole home, man. What's wrong with them?
Yeah, I know that they're a bunch of hoes.
I want them dirty Spanks in our house.
Hey, what's up? They won. They lost their first three, and then they won a bunch of games, but the Mets have been solid. Would they get washed out today?
Yeah, they got rained out. Yo, I was so vexed. But I'm saying, yo, just one.
J-Rock! Hey, tell me about the Knicks. They are so bunk. Why are people talking about the Knicks all day about that game? What is it going to do? Bring it back?
I got a little rhyme for the Knicks.
All right, here we go. J-Rock.
The New York Knicks are acting like chicks because they're playing like chicks and they're throwing up bricks and they're licking mad. I can't say that.
Oh, heavens to Betsy. That is just, that's clearly, you know, if we had that reading here at one of our local restaurants, we might be able to make some money.
Words, huh?
Hey, when the Rangers stopped playing hockey 2 months ago, did anyone care?
Oh, God. Yo, I stopped caring.
Tell me about the yellow. Anyway, J-Rock, I got to go. Anyway, 800-29. Why am I hanging out? Because the cops are here. What do you want? No, dude, I already got that thing fixed. I got a lawyer. Yellow teeth. 800-29. Let's get some people in that way. Well, what happened was J-Rock's like the greatest dude in the world, and he started flipping out. I think he was beating his sister up at the moment. Right at the end there. You may have heard it. Rick heard it. Rick, you could tell in Montreal that J-Rock was about to beat up his sister.
Yeah, he was starting to decompose there.
He was decomposing at the end there with a little. There was a little rift, some language. I heard a punch. There was screaming. I think there was some hair pulling.
Exactly.
Anyway, so what's up, buddy, in Montreal? I said tonight on air, and you probably didn't hear it, but I can't even imagine. I was talking about all the teams that suck in hockey, and the Canadians don't suck, but they stink. They are not as good as they were. They don't matter. No one cares about them anymore. The first thing I did when I grew up was see the Montreal stories. They're not a factor anymore, and the original six, all these teams, they just don't matter. And I know they don't matter to you because you want to talk about Pedro Martinez.
Yeah, people are more concerned with baseball now, and it's funny because people are bored with hockey.
They're bored with baseball.
They're awful to watch, and they're not constructing the team to win. They don't want to win anymore.
And what about up there? There's no one that wants to play there, let alone play in that city. Teams don't want to go there because it's torture to play and hang out there for 4 days. I think Montreal is a great city, but what I'm saying is playing in that ballpark with that team, it's like going to Louisville.
It's really tough, and I don't think they're going to get the new ballpark done.
With what? They don't spend money.
I know. There's no money in this city.
And Canadians don't have any money right now with the dollar being what it is. Why would they go build a baseball stadium when they can't even bring 30 into the one they play in?
Exactly. And even the Canadians are cutting their budget. They're being careful with money with the exchange. I mean, they're losing 45% on the dollar.
I know. It's like, what is it, 70 cents? I talked to F.P. Santangelo, my buddy. He's a great baseball player, but I know for a fact he likes playing baseball, but I don't think he likes playing there anymore.
Well, when you're getting rid of guys, I mean, we got to be rid of enough guys the last 4 years for two championship teams.
Pedro Martinez, Lansing, I could get Lou, I could keep going.
And, you know, what I wanted to talk to you about, I don't know what you heard during the trade talks for Martinez, but we've got nothing for this guy. We've got Carl Pavano, who's injury-prone. I can't believe that Fred Claire wouldn't have given them the moon to get Martinez back. What's the story with that?
I think that a lot of people believe that Pavano is going to be a great player. But, like you said, he's, you know, sitting there flat, doing nothing, injured. Lottie dies, had some problems, but the guy that matters in Canada, I mean, I guess in terms of fun to watch, I know that the Jays want to get Matt Stairs, and I know that they've been trying to get Matt Stairs, they did in the offseason. The A's don't want to get rid of him, but the guy that I think is the key in Canada is Jose Cruz Jr. He's the best player to watch play out there, but just like hockey, none of the teams in Canada matter, and I think that the league, the NHL, made a big mistake in ruining the league by letting it come south, because in the U.S., no one cares about hockey, but they think that they do. They think that the money's here. But when none of the teams are making any money, they're wrong, and expansion won't work. They should have expanded up there, if anywhere. People love hockey. But the NHL's in shambles right now, and I'm the first to admit it, and I don't want to be the first to admit it, but it really is. Good hearing from you in Montreal, Rick. About 17 minutes left or something. I got to go to the bathroom bad. Some exciting stats came out today. 28% of 9 to 12-year-olds were offered drugs this year, compared to 24% last year. Children's exposure to dope is now at 14% as opposed to 7% 5 years ago. 43% of parents believe that it's possible that their kid could find pot easily. Well, that and guns, Dad. And then one-third of parents said they thought that their children viewed dope as harmful and that their kids wouldn't smoke. Uh-huh, good one. Yeah, okay. If your parents believe that, then you know they're dumb. Then you should just start sneaking out now, because if they're that dumb, then what are they doing? Oh, yeah, they're home at breakfast teaching them about sex, right? Sure. You know what they do? They yell at them and tell them how miserable they are and worthless. And that does you a lot of good. No wonder the kids listen to Pharrell. I tell it like it is, and all the kids are like, aah! Parents hate me, but they all listen too with like little ear pieces and wires going up their underwear into work, you know? I got a lot of, like, President Clinton listens to me. He came in here one night and he left me a note. He said, I left him one. I said, you the man. And then he wrote me one that said, Pharrell, I listened to you on JFK. You do suck, Bill.
I got it framed. Anyway, this dude was at the Twins game tonight. I swear to you that this game was freaky. 13-12, the Devil Rays beat the, that's the Tampa Bay Devil Rays? Yeah, Tampa Bay, it's in Florida. Uh-huh, the Gulf side? Uh-huh. Yes, they have a baseball team now. Oh, well, that's okay. Well, you go ahead then. Yeah, I know how it is being a Lightning fan and all. Just kidding. The fact of the matter is that I don't think the Lightning are going to make it down there. They can't even figure out what to do. They got this new arena night, and no one goes. No one cares. They lose every night. They lost tonight, 3-2. Ottawa beat them, and Carolina lost. That means Carolina's dead, basically. They're not eliminated officially, but they're dead. They're meat. I think the Blackhawks are meat, too. Mark, he was at the game 13-12, man. That's crazy.
Bro, was the Vikings under the Buccaneers? No, wait.
Didn't Fouad Reves kick that winning field goal?
Oh, my God, I was wondering, you know, I don't know how many years it took our expansion Bucks to score 13 points.
I'll say this. Tampa Bay is better than Arizona in record-wise in the sense that I thought yesterday was terrific. Watching Alvarez and Roberto Hernandez give Reinsdorf the finger, getting a win in the save, and Dave Martinez a home run. Three guys that he just sent pack and came back to haunt him. Reinsdorf's a pain.
It was home run derby tonight. 8 of them tonight.
Who hit him?
I don't even remember. Sorrento hit one. McCracken almost... McCracken is a god.
Yeah, he's a tough little ball player. Perfect for an expansion club.
Oh, yeah. But I tell you what, man, it's a good time. I tell you, with the Lightning sucking up the way they are, I mean, it's just prime time. But we've been waiting for baseball so long.
Have you sat in those seats, the seats with the computers?
Yeah. You believe $15,000 for the year, brother.
Oh, to sit in those?
We sat down there. We moved down, like, in the 13th.
Oh, so you sit in those seats.
No, yeah, I did once the people that had to go to work tomorrow.
What was the TV screen like?
It's pretty cool. It's one of those touchstones where you press it, as your finger activates, you can get different camera angles, you can get different TV channels.
And stats and stuff. Does it give pitch locations? And
it gives everything, bro. The only thing it doesn't do is pay for your beers.
And they sell cars at that ballpark inside. It's like a mall, right?
They got a cigar bar. They got everything. I'll tell you what.
Hey, they said cigars today. Last week they did a big thing. If you even put one in your mouth, they say your chances of getting cancer are 7 times greater than if you were to smoke a pack of smokes. That's crazy. They say that the juices off of those leaves are just toting carcinogens, and that if you inhale them, which I did for 7 years, it makes your poop green.
Give me a
I thought it was funny. Well. Brett, you can do whatever you want with that. Anyway, Mark.
You rock, brother. We're heading home, and I'm tired as hell. We've been drinking since 4:30.
Oh, great. Don't hit my family. You miserable. I still love the mom that broke her kid out of the maximum security prison in the Everglades. She drove through in a Peterbilt, knocked over 3 fences with razors all over them, and the son and her and his lover gets away. Well, yeah, they just met a few years ago. They're just really into each other now from a rear point of view. And then, the fact is that they got away, got busted later, killing some other dude in a car wreck. The mom weighs about 350, and she's going to do time with him. Apparently, she's going to be the head chef at the maximum security facility. Hey, can you imagine doing time, doing life in the Everglades? Let me tell you something about how hot it is down there. It's so freaking hot in the Alligator Alley that the alligators don't even have sex. All right, let's get Spoiler Georgie in. I didn't even, you know, I'm sorry, but I didn't even know that he was there because I'm crazy. But Spoiler George, NASCAR was off. They're coming back Martinsville this week, Saturday and Sunday. They'll run again. So I was forced to watch the Argentina Grand Prix, and Schumacher got lucky at the end, and he wrecked on the track, and he went out into the grass, and he spun out, and at the last second, he beat Heba Heineken. The guy's name's Hakkinen. Hakkinen Luber, a Heineken Luber. Anyway, George.
Hey, brake pedal, Scott. Whoever's got the brakes at the 5.36-mile track this week in Martinsville, it's a drag strip, 2 long straightaways and small concrete turns. Whoever's got the brakes left over here, she'll win this one. You got to save the brakes. You RGS-Penn, they always show the brake rotors down here at this race, how they'll get flamed red-orange like a charbroil grill you cook on, and because they run real hot here. And Wallace won that one down there 2 years ago. That's the first one I ever picked on your show, like 2 years ago. And then, hey, I just had one story to tell you. I used to work in a hamburger joint.
Yeah.
And in 79, we went there and got out in 94. Worked with my old man in a 76 Chevrolet Malibu four-door. Gas pedal got stuck. It was a hole-in-the-wall hamburger joint. It came crashing through the wall. And a Pepsi Cola box, an old one that used to be on the floor, not them new ones with the glass doors. It got smashed against the cash register. We had a small counter there. And if I'd been sitting right there where I usually was, instead of fixing 2 hot dogs, it'd have smashed my legs out. It came all the way through the building. and it recoiled back. Hey, I'll
oh, that's right. So, like, we went and saw this restaurant next door, and the car went through the restaurant. I kid you not, it went right through the restaurant. There is everything in it. If you were eating in the restaurant, you were dead. It went all the way back to the kitchen, like the guy didn't like the food or something.
Well, this here was just a small hamburger joint. Remember, my old man, 74, he said, turn around, and it happened so fast, for real. You don't know what happened, and my arm got scraped from one of the cement blocks.
Oh, my God, George, and you've never been the same. Ryan in D.C., I got to wrap it up. I hate to cut people off, but...
Scotty.
Hey, Ryan.
What's going on?
In the 69th minute of chilling, Ryan, it's a perfect fit for you.
Yes, sir.
You're the man. Now, by the way, Curtis Martin, he extends his deal. He takes an option or something. He's 2002 with the Jets. Chris Warren signs with the Cowboys. Like I told you, they would sign him last week. 3 years, $2 million. And Madonna, a six-year deal with the Stars. Essentially, it's a three-year deal because he's got three left, so six more years in Dallas. And he was playing great before the injury, $43.5 million. Go ahead, Ryan.
Yeah, you know, the game was meaningless tonight with the Caps shutting out the Islanders, but, you know, I mean, it looks good, the overall picture, you know.
Well, they're in the playoffs, so you can't ask for anything more. But, I mean, if you think you can win with just Peter Bondra and scoring a goal and Connor Walchuk having an assist every other night, you're crazy. And I don't even think that they have what it takes in terms of depth. I mean, lines, they don't have any serious threats besides, you know, I mean, Kolzig is tough, but I don't think he can do it because I don't think their defense is that impressive in front of them. The Pacers beat the Bulls tonight in Chicago, and Carolina lost. Ottawa won. Forget about Carolina. And in baseball, the Dodgers beat the Astros. Colorado a winner. San Diego. Mets were canceled. So were the Yankees because of the pillar that fell. Kansas City big over Toronto. Texas 10-1 over Detroit. That 13-12 Tampa Bay score was crazy. Good night for the crew. I'm out of here. Peace.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? SportsGrid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, SportsGrid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.